Welcome to The Bible Tells Me So, a program sponsored by Starting With Jesus. I'm Miss Katie, your host today. We have Micah to read our questions. Pastor Jonathan is with us to help us find the answer in our Bibles. And Aiden will read the Bible verse for us. Do you have your Bibles ready? If you don't, you might want to go and get them so that we can find and read the answers together. Let's go ahead and get started. Our question today is from Emily. Emily has a question. So, Micah, what is Emily's question?
Will there be other fancy clothes in heaven or just white robes?
All right. Do you have your Bibles? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10.
All right. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. Revelation is the last book in the Bible. And then you're going to chapter 7. Those are those big numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then we're going to read verse 9 and 10. So look under 7 for those little numbers. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. Aiden, can you read that for us?
After these things, I looked and behold a great multitude, which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb."
John saw those who will be in heaven, and he noticed that they wore white robes. These white robes represent something very special. You see, one of the elders explained to John that the people he saw in heaven were there because they had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You see, in the Bible, our sins are compared to spots and stains that make our clothes dirty. But when we ask Jesus to forgive us, it's like washing our clothes. When Jesus forgives us, those spots and stains go away. So in heaven, it won't matter what brand of shoes you wear or how expensive your clothes are. What will matter is that you have been forgiven and your life has been washed clean from sin. So that's part of the meaning behind wearing white robes. I want to wear a white robe, don't you?
I do. And you know, I think of my boys. Mike is a pretty good eater and he doesn't really get food all over, but Aiden tends to not think about what he's doing and food spills and he gets these stains. And then when we go out, it's like, "Oh, Aiden, go change your shirt," because, you know, we don't want to wear food all over our shirts when we're out and about. And it's kind of like in heaven where God's going to give us that white robe and clean us and wash away all that sin. So we want that white robe because it shows that Jesus has cleansed us from our sin.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really neat. Emily, thank you so much for your question. We're so glad that you joined us today. If you want to find more programs and activities, go to our website, startingwithjesus.com. And don't forget to start each and every day with Jesus. Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together praising Him. Last time we learned about Reverend Dudley and how he would vehemently preach against owning slaves. He even lost his job because of his preaching. Well, one day, he was out in the country looking to buy a piece of farm equipment, and as he was checking it out, his sleeve got caught in the cogs, and it ripped off his arm. I'm surprised that he didn't die right then and there, but they managed to stop the bleeding for a while. But you know what? His body was not able to recover. He could tell that his injury was going to be fatal, and he was going to die. So he wrote a letter to the Young Men's Christian Association saying, "Tell them to stand up for Jesus. Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? That's when his friend George Duffield wrote the words to this hymn. He heard his friend's dying words and used it as he preached at Reverend Dudley Ting's funeral.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer from loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Tell every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed.
Hi, boys and girls. We're going to talk about going on a trip today. Have you ever gone on a trip? It's pretty exciting, isn't it? Well, I want to tell you about going on a few of different trips that I've been on and something that they've all had in common. But first, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love and your care. Come into our hearts as we read and study and learn more about you. We love you, Jesus. Amen. I have been on several trips, and sometimes when we're on trips, we're gone and away from our home church on the Sabbath. So sometimes we'll just go out in nature and be out in nature on Sabbath, but oftentimes, in fact, more often than not, we will find an Adventist church in the area where we're staying. Many times it's not one that we've been to before, but we find out what times they're meeting, and we go and we meet with them. I've been to Tanzania 2 times, and I've been to Ethiopia 1 time. That's in Africa. And all those times, we always found an Adventist church where we were able to go and to meet and to worship together and to talk together about Jesus and how much he loves us. Just a couple months ago, we were on a trip for my husband's school. And while he had school, the boys and I went exploring. But on Sabbath, we looked up the nearest Adventist church in our area. And we went to that church. And it was a little bit of a drive. It was about 45 minutes to an hour away. But we went there and we had church with them. We worshiped and we fellowshiped. It was such a wonderful time to get to know other Adventist Christians. It's pretty exciting that there's Adventist churches all around the world. Many towns and cities have them. Places in other countries have them. There's Adventist churches in Norway and in South Africa and in Thailand and Malaysia and in Australia and Japan. There are so many different Adventist churches. And if you've never been to a Seventh-day Adventist church, I want to challenge you to look one up. You can look on the internet or talk to your parents and find an Adventist church near you so that you can go and worship with other believers. This week we've been talking about Saul, haven't we? He was a young man that had been taught by the priests and the rabbis things that weren't necessarily true. Well, when Saul talked to the other priests and teachers about Stephen, remember he was who they had killed because of what he believed about Jesus, these leaders in the church told him what Stephen had preached couldn't be true. And because the things that Saul had been taught, because he thought that those priests and teachers were wise, he believed them. He didn't follow the truth. He followed the leaders. He agreed that Stephen deserved to die, but the things that had happened to Stephen still kind of bothered him in the back of his mind. Well, Saul decided that if what Jesus' followers believed was wrong, then he was going to do anything he could to help the priests and rulers to stop them from telling others about Jesus. Well, it wasn't long before the priests and the rulers knew that Saul was one of their most powerful helpers. They even made him a member of the council after Stephen died. Let's look up Acts chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 3. We've read this before, but I want you to really understand the background on Saul. And there might be other boys and girls who missed it last time. So we're going to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 3. Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. That's the fifth book in the New Testament. The Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Acts chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 3. We're going to read Acts chapter 8, verse 1, and then verse 3. Let's see what that says.
And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. As for Saul, he made a havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committed them to prison.
So the disciples and the apostles were kind of staying in Jerusalem. They were teaching and preaching there. But because of the persecution, where did they go? They scattered. You're right. They scattered all throughout Jerusalem, through Judea, through Samaria, and they were going all over. Now, who was making havoc of the church? Who was going into houses and dragging people out? It was Saul. You're right. Now, because Saul was persecuting the church and everyone else, everyone was scattering and they were going everywhere. So now the message of Jesus was going to all the world. It was expanding. Have you ever seen something expand? Well, think about a balloon. If you have a balloon that's not been inflated or not blown up, you have a balloon and then you start blowing air into that balloon, the balloon will expand. It will get bigger. And as it gets bigger, it takes up more space. Well, the church was scattering. They were getting bigger. They were expanding. They were going other places. And because they were going other places, now people in other parts of the world could hear the good news about Jesus. How would you have felt if Saul, with his strong helpers, had come to your house and had dragged you off to prison just because you believed in Jesus? Did you know that this actually happens today to many believers? It happens in many different countries where they don't have the religious freedom that other people do. No wonder so many of them left Jerusalem. But those who went to Damascus soon found out that they weren't safe there either. Why was that? Let's look up Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. So we're going to go one chapter over. I have to turn a page. You might not have to, but I have to turn a page to Acts chapter 9. So we were in 8. Now we're in 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and verse 2.
And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if found in of this way, whether they were man or woman, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem.
Does Saul sound like he's pretty angry? Well, he was breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Have you ever heard somebody breathing threats? It's like, oh, I'm going to get you. Oh, it just, oh. Are they happy? Are they cheerful or are they angry? They're angry. They're very angry. And breathing threats, that means that kind of like with every breath, he was thinking about it and talking about it. Well, he saw that these believers were scattering and going other places. So he's like, well, I need to go those other places so that I can get them. But he didn't have what's called jurisdiction or authority in other places. So he had to go to the high priest and say, hey, can you give me the authority to go to this other place? How far was Damascus from Jerusalem? Do you know? It was 329 kilometers. That's a long ways, isn't it? If we were to drive it today in a car, I looked it up on Google. If we were to drive it today, it would be 5 hours and 10 minutes of driving in a car. So imagine Saul is riding on a horse or a donkey or something, and he's going up to Damascus. It's a long ways. It's not short. It's long. The believers who had gone there, they were teaching others about Jesus. And now there were many new believers in Damascus. So Saul decided, I'm going to go there. I'm going to take all the believers that I can find, and I'm going to take them back to Jerusalem to be punished. Look at Acts chapter 22, verse 4 and 5. Acts chapter 22, verse 4 and 5. We're going to see what Saul's plan was. Acts chapter 22, so same book, just chapter 22, and then read verse 4 and 5.
And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished.
These are Saul's very own words. He's saying that he persecuted this way to the death. So he was killing people. They were dying. He was putting them into prison, men and women. And then the high priest and all the council elders, they let him go to Damascus so that he could bring the believers back in chains. Then they could be punished. You know, boys and girls, Jesus warned his disciples about being persecuted. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 17, 18, and 19, this is what Jesus said. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. That means beat you. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, because we believe in Jesus, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. Why will we be brought before kings and governors? So that we can witness about Jesus. But then Jesus goes on. He gives us a promise. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given you in that hour what you should speak. Sometimes we're afraid. We're like, oh, what would I do in that situation? But Jesus says not to worry. He'll be with us. He'll give us the words to speak. He'll help us to be brave. He'll help us to be loyal to him no matter what happens. Aren't you glad for that promise? That Jesus is with us? That he is right there by our side? And sometimes when it seems like bad things are happening, sometimes it's so that people in high up places like a governor or king or president, it's so that they can hear about Jesus and we can witness for him. I'm glad that Jesus gives us this promise, aren't you? Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, come into our hearts today. Help us to be bold and brave for you. Help us not to worry about what we say, but to trust on you to help us. Thank you, Lord, for your promises and your word. We love you. Amen.
Acts 9, verse 6.
Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do?
Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.